marijuana legalization also ushers in the return of the American hemp industry. Get the latest news from the author of Hemp Bound and Too High to Fail, Doug Fine, in our Hemp Day Hump Day update. Well, today in our Hemp Day Hump Day update, it's particularly appropriate because we've got hemp news coming out of the state of New Mexico, where our next guest is usually located. It's Doug Fine, the author of Hemp Bound and Too High to Fail, the acclaimed hemp expert. How you doing, Doug?
Wow. Thanks for the kind introduction, Russ. I'm doing great. Thank you. And I am here on the Funky Butte Ranch in New Mexico.
Okay. So the latest news I had given folks on New Mexico and hemp is once again, your Republican governor, Susana Martinez, has vetoed not one, but two different hemp bills. What do you make of all this there, Doug?
For somebody who's been working on it for several years and helped write some versions, last week, I stopped in outside of Santa Fe to pass off a bottle of my own Vermont Group's hemp product to a sponsoring legislator so he could wave it around on the Senate floor. It's not a shock. It comes down to a lot of political infighting stuff. None of this changes that it's horribly wrong, but if you really want the up to the minute, there is now a bill. It's got 3 days till the end of the session, but there's a bill that evidently is very similar to the weaker of the two that the governor evidently is friendly to. So we'll see. We'll see if it will happen. It's disappointing regardless because the better bill allowed for New Mexico to be one of the more robust programs, namely farmers planting hemp, as opposed to this kind of like cautious nonsense that some states are doing in terms of very limited initial trials.
Now, the plan then is to go with this new bill that she may be more amenable to. Was there not enough support in the chamber for an override of the vetoes?
I was wondering the same thing, and there's just three more days in the session. I guess it was thought that this might be easier, and because it may have either stemmed with her or at least coming through an ally, there might be some face saving for it, because it's evidently very similar to one of the bills that was vetoed, the weaker of the bill, and that one was put forth for the third year in a row by sort of our governor's political nemesis, and she doesn't tend to smile on those kind of bills. But there was a better one put forth by somebody else that she also vetoed, and those of us who had been working on the bill, including in discussions with the governor's office, we're disappointed. But if they want to drive business out of the state, that's a good way to do it.
Well, there'll be a few more states for her to drive business to as industrial hemp continues to pick up support all across the country. It's just a week away from the vernal equinox. We're approaching the first day of spring here. So what do you got for us on the update for the spring planting? Where are we planting hemp? How much of it? And how much are we going to harvest?
Well, as it has every year since federal law allowed hemp to be planted again in the 2014 Farm Bill under research conditions, the acreage is slated to triple again. There are people growing more acreage, individual farms in Kentucky and Colorado next year than the entire nation, or even actually all of North America grew just 3 years ago. Hmm. So hemp under difficult conditions is experiencing monstrous growth. Programs, multiple projects I'm involved in, look to be growing in terms of increasing acreage. So it's looking very, very promising. At the moment, besides having this exciting product release for our Vermont product I can tell you about, we also, I'm also helping a lot of states, helping some Indian tribes, farmers in states. And whenever you get into the state bureaucracies, there's real frustration because the truth is very, very simple, which is just there doesn't need to be regulations for hemp, and it's just a crop. This is where everything's heading on the federal level. And so it's a bit frustrating to be dealing in different states with fears and rearview mirror looking that is irrelevant. And so that part's always frustrating, and that's why I live on a goat ranch and I don't get involved in politics, but sometimes you have to.
Indeed. So of these states that are currently putting hemp in the ground, which one's got the most that we'll be looking forward to?
Kentucky and Colorado both will have potentially each north of 10,000 acres in each of those states, which is astounding. A state that I'm involved in, which is Vermont, is small, but providing sort of a high-end craft kind of Ben and Jerry's kind of market. There's the acreage is growing in proportion with the growth of the rest of the industry in Vermont. I'm really kind of proud of Vermont. Washington's coming online. It's in a limited way. You're not allowed to grow for applications deriving from the flower, which, again, it's insane is not too not too strong a word for that. I like to think of forgetting about the health benefits of healthy products. Just imagine Steve Jobs and Larry Ellison and these people at the forefront of the Silicon Valley revolution in the 1970s saying, you can only manufacture devices from these type of elements. It's pure hampering of an important economy. And then another issue is, even though federal law explicitly allows permitted hemp farmers to transfer viable seed to other permitted hemp farmers, some states get that. Other states are acting as though they have to involve agencies and import seeds when American farmers already have high-quality viable seed. And so there's bumps and frustrations and hurdles. But I'm proud to say our Vermont group got in a multi-ton harvest, and we're excited to plant again.
Now, we're, of course, excited about these harvests, but the next step is processing that hemp. This is a part of the hemp industry that we've talked about in the past. It's kind of lacking. Are there any developments in the corporate world or through the hemp states themselves to do the decorticization and the other processing plants that are needed?
A great question. And so I have the luxury of being a luxury provider in that we, in growing 23 acres and then growing moderately from that this year in Vermont, we are high-end craft people who press our oil on our farm. Besides the quality of the product, we have that extra branding ability to say everything in our product, in our first-year product, came from our farm. So for this this product called Hemp in Hemp that we're doing, which is the flower of the plant infused in the seed oil from the same plant, it's a sort of massage oil, sore muscle salve. I love it in the bath kind of thing. For that, we processed it entirely on our own. And again, as we grow, that's going to be impossible to continue. So we are too going to be looking for processing infrastructure. That said, this is an issue that people are not unaware of. So to give you one example, friends and colleagues of mine on the western slope of Colorado are actively involved in working with the regional governments, county governments in that part of the state, farmers groups, to coordinate a central processing facility. And these are not live-in-the-clouds dreamers. These are practical get-it-done ranchers who are keeping tabs on prices for the various components of the plant. And it's interesting that you mentioned decortication, because fiber is really surprising me in the way that it's coming on. It's the fastest growing component of the plant in Canada. And we in our Vermont group had to turn down a big, very big fiber order this year because we just didn't focus on that side of the plant. And it's good to know that people are starting to think about hemp's many uses in fiber, seed, and flower.
Yeah, that's good to hear. We reported on a story about the DEA updating, making a clarification about CBD derived from hemp. And they said that there are no cannabinoids within the hemp stock or the seed or the sterilized seed from which you could get CBD oil. They have to be getting it from resins that are sticking to the stock or to the seeds. And I know we've talked in the past about some of these hemp farmers looking at growing hemp specifically for the flower
production for CBD. Do you think this clarification makes any difference to them since they're just dealing with it on the state level? Or is it something from the feds, you know, that it's going to be kind of scary to hemp farmers?
Oh, it's a big enough deal to hemp farmers that the Hemp Industries Association filed a lawsuit against the reclassification.
Oh.
Flower applications and the nutraceuticals market is arguably the biggest segment of the economy. It's non-psychoactive if the THC levels in the final product meet federal hemp definitions. And so it's both legally incorrect based on the Farm Bill and also insane on a practical level to try to call any component of the cannabis plant other than THC to claim that it's under the purview of the Controlled Substances Act. So it's good to know as a hemp farmer and a hemp entrepreneur that the industry trade groups have our back, and hopefully nobody is going to have to be made an example of. But if they do, we'll prevail. This has happened before. In the year 2000, when hemp companies that today we consider mainstream in every supermarket or Walmart in the land, Nutiva, Dr. Bronner's, these folks, had to go to the legal mat with federal agencies claiming that seed products that today we know as Omega food were not allowed. So we just have to every now and then force our way to what's right for the economy and the country.
Exactly. Well, Doug Fine, you are one of our treasures here on the Russ Belville Show, and we appreciate you joining us here monthly to give us the latest updates on our Hemp Day Hump Day update. But you're also out there, out and about to different events and fairs and such. I know you got the NoCo Festival and such. Is anything, any events you want to tell people about in this last 30 seconds or so?
Sure. Yep. You mentioned it, NoCo, doing your keynote speech on what I wish I knew before I became a hemp farmer, plus several panels. On March 30th, April 1st, our Family Green Hemp booth will be there, including the Hemp and Hemp product that I mentioned during our segment today. Folks can also go to familygreenhemp.com if they're interested in that, learning more about that. And also Earth Day on the Menominee Nation. I'm working closely with folks within the Menominee Nation to help them get back on track after their raid last year for hemp and get prepared for hemp with all the T's crossed and all the I's dotted.
All right. Good luck to you, Doug Fine. We'll be keeping in touch with what's going on. And folks, you want to follow Doug, get him at DougFine.com. Follow him at Organic Cowboy on Twitter. Doug, we'll talk to you next month about some more hemp.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Russ. Keep up the good work.
All right, stay tuned when we come back. The Radical Rant on Jeff Sessions. We've got the audio from his follow-up comments coming up next.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.